The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
All right, is it Mike Davis? Is it Daryl Henderson? Maybe you're prioritizing Russell Gage or a different wide receiver. Mike Gesicki's got a great matchup this week, and he could have a nice season after a rough week one. Welcome to the Waiver Wire Show as we get ready for Fantasy Week 3. And you know there are a lot of names to go out there and get. I'm here with Jamie and Dave today. Jamie, how would you characterize the Waiver Wire this week? Give me some adjectives.
Bountiful. Hopeful. Depressing.
All in one, huh?
The only reason I say depressing is because of the guys you have to replace.
Yeah, it stinks, man. That was good. You did well on your SATs, I can tell.
Would you like to know how my lead to the waiver wire column? Here's how I wrote. Week two was devastating, depressing, and disastrous. One by one, big name after big name, the injuries kept coming and coming and coming. I've never seen a week like this.
Wow.
We say I've never seen a week like this because we forget about other weeks.
No,
but I've never seen a week like this.
Not with the top two picks in fantasy go down.
Oh, sucks.
And the way that they went down. I mean, you know, at least a month for the top pick in McCaffrey and the whole season for Barkley. I mean, it's you were just watching that go. Oh no.
Eventually, you run out of no's to give. There's a nightmare Sunday every year. And this was like the all-time nightmare Sunday.
It's 2 weeks in a row, though. I mean, we lost the
Last week wasn't anywhere as bad as this week. I know we lost a bunch last week, but this week was the killer.
Yeah.
The killer.
I wonder, like, why does Christian McCaffrey have the worst ankle sprain? Like, everybody else is like 2 to 3 weeks. Barkley missed like two games. Michael Thomas is not on IR yet. McCaffrey's out 4 to 6 weeks. What is that?
I'm going to guess, based on what he said, he's back 3 weeks.
Yeah, he's beating that timeline. Let's be optimistic here. But still, Mike Davis might be number one. Let's get our top three or four or whatever. Let's get our top priorities on the waiver wire. Let's talk about our fab spending. Dave, I'll let you start. Give me however many names you want on this wacky Tuesday.
Well, I think you've got to go after running backs first, whether you need them or not. Most people are going to need them. Mike Davis is at the top of the list for me because I think he's got the path to pretty much like every down work for the Panthers, and he caught 8 passes last Sunday. So he would be first. Daryl Henderson would be second, especially if those injuries for Akers and Malcolm Brown end up being pretty significant. And Jerick McKinnon is third. He might be a short-term fix at running back, but I would imagine he's going to see the bulk of the playing time for San Francisco against the Giants, and that's a really good thing.
You know, the funny thing is like last week, we gave you 3 suggestions of running backs, and there were different orders for different guys with Malcolm Brown, Benny Snell. And Benny Snell was first, Naheem Hines was second, and Malcolm Brown was third. That was for me. They're all disappointing. James Conner came back, and Benny Snell was worthless. Naheem Hines didn't do anything. We still expect him to do something long term, but he didn't do anything in week two. And Malcolm Brown, who knows what he would have done, but he got hurt. So could the same thing happen this week because there's not really like a standout guy? Yes, take that into account. But as Dave said, Davis's path to playing time is right in front of you for however many games McCaffrey is out. You have Henderson, could be amazing or could be in dud, because if the other guys come back, you know, you could be wasting your fab or your waiver priority. Again, take that into account.
And they both could be back this week.
McVay said day-to-day for Akers, which the injury sounds painful.
Yes.
And McVay said that Brown could be available dealing with the fractured pinky. So again, take that into account. Henderson may be the best Rams running back long-term, or he may be third on the depth chart. And then with McKinnon, like Dave said, it could be a short-term scenario, but it would not shock me at all, especially after what happened to them on the turf in the same stadium where half their team fell apart, that we don't see McKinnon getting a heavy workload and they use him in the passing game more just to, you know, keep him a little bit more in a bubble, I guess. I don't know, you know, in bubble wrap, not to, you know, run him 15 times. So it could be Jeff Wilson, and they're probably going to elevate Jamichael Hasty off the practice squad. So there may not be a, I got a starter to replace McCaffrey, to replace Barkley, whatever the case may be for your team. But Davis, to me, looks like the best of this group for however long McCaffrey is out.
And if you don't want to go with the running backs, you know, Mike Gesicki's got some long-term appeal and short-term appeal. The Jaguars, that's his Thursday night matchup. The Jaguars have allowed 13 catches on 15 targets with 198 yards and two touchdowns to tight ends so far. And we had hopes for a Mike Gesicki breakout, so you could look at him. Russell Gage will be a popular wide receiver to add. Gardner Minshew could be a great quarterback to add, and he's rostered in 54% of leagues. Now, you guys talked about Mike Davis, talked about Daryl Henderson, talked about Jerick McKinnon. You didn't mention a Giants running back. So I have a bunch of questions here about these running backs. Let me start with this. Number one, could you see a scenario where Mike Davis is not used as the lead back? And it's like, what? Are you kidding me? We thought it was going to be him. And oh my gosh, they curveball. I mean, that happened with the Lions last year. I can't remember the specifics, but it was
Ty Johnson was supposed to right. be the guy. And then I think they went, was it Scarborough at the time?
I think we had to wait a week on Scarborough. Yeah.
Right.
I don't remember who they went with, but it was right.
It might have been McKissick.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. So, you know, could we get one of those situations? Devontae Freeman is looming out there. So that's number one, your confidence in Mike Davis to be the lead guy. And then number two, Giants running backs, you know, not in your top three.
I think for Davis, in terms of the confidence factor, like Dave said, the eight catches is what you want to hang your hat on, because you know they're going to be chasing points. You know that that's something that they're going to do, is throw to their backs. And the fact that they did that in the first opportunity that he was needed is a good sign, because he's not going to be a 20 carry guy. At least I don't expect that to be the case. And they may, or I would expect them to promote Reggie Bonifon off their practice squad. So he's the one that could be the wild card in all of this. But I think you look at Davis, and the hope would be is he's a flex option for you, better in PPR than non-PPR. So he's not going to be McCaffrey. Don't expect that. And I wouldn't, you know, rush to start him if you don't have to. But I think you look at the Giants situation is, I would, as of we're recording this, if I had to put my bids in now or my waiver claims in now, I would go with Freeman over the other two guys, because I don't think the other two guys, in terms of Deion Lewis and Wayne Gallman, are going to be very successful. And I think maybe Freeman has the chance to be more successful than those guys if he gets the ability to play for the Giants. Because
I don't know if any of them could do it.
That's probably the safest
thing to say. Had a hard time finding lanes with that offensive line. So
right, but I think in terms of, like, Lewis is going to be probably just relegated to passing down work with a little bit of carries. Gallman's probably going to do more carries with a little bit of passing down work. It's going to be messy. It's like how the Jets are right now. You know, it's like Frank Gore and then whoever else is going to play. Kalen Ballage was the guy playing on passing downs. Like, you don't want to have to trust those guys, but again, you're just looking at who has a path to playing time. And so I'd rank the Giants guys right now, the unsigned guy in Freeman first, Lewis second, and Gallman third.
I'd have the exact opposite order, but I'm not excited about getting any of them. The only saving grace for Gallman and Lewis at this point is that we know that they're in a position to play the next 14 games.
Right.
We can't say that about the other running backs. Mm-hmm. The other running backs are definitely shorter solutions, but I think you got to go after them first anyway, and then deal with a long-term solution later.
Yeah. And Wayne Gallman was good against the football team last year in his one start. He got a ton of work.
How does that work when you talk about them in the past tense?
I still think that people are offended by it, so I'm not going to say it.
I would agree, but I mean, you know, you are just talking about the history of the franchise.
I should just say Washington, but you're right. I mean, that occurred to me mid-sentence. I just, went football team there. Yeah. All right. And then, like, Henderson, you know, it's not just picking up Henderson because you think he could be the starter this week with the other two guys out. The other two guys might play, but Henderson was really good. We finally get to see him featured a little bit. 12 carries, 81 yards and a touchdown, two catches for 40 yards. Guy averaged over 8 yards per carry every year in college.
So maybe he's just really good. Maybe he's their best running back. You at least got to give yourself the possibility there. Got the Bills this week. We haven't seen a running back get more than 7 carries against the Bills. We also have Myles Gaskin out there, guys. Like, he's kind of a starting running back, and he's 20% rostered.
Significantly more than Jordan Howard and Matt Breida. It's not even close.
Like, so why isn't he like number two?
He is. I would take him ahead of the Giants guys. You know, I think you look at it this way. Like, you know, if you're looking at maybe who has the highest ceiling, I think Davis has the highest ceiling of this group, just given the opportunity of however many games he'll start without McCaffrey there. Then I think you look at Henderson, like you said, Adam, there's the short term and then there's the potential of the long term. So you take the chance on that. McKinnon has already showed you something in limited touches. You talk about explosiveness. We know what he's been when he's been healthy. And this is his best opportunity now to showcase that, as long as Mostert, but most likely Coleman, given the absence that he's going to deal with. And then once you get past those guys, I think Gaskin should be there. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about it is, like, we told you to pick him up last week and we didn't necessarily hammer the point home too much because, okay, maybe it was one game. They're chasing points. They're playing the Patriots. Who knows how this was going to work? It's now 2 weeks of them telling you, this is our running back. And here's what the plays. Gaskin has played 88 snaps through 2 games. Jordan Howard has played 17. Matt Breida has played 30. It's like the gap couldn't be any wider.
Yeah, except Howard gets those stupid touchdowns. But
who cares? He's averaging 0.8 yards per carry.
Oh, if they're gonna bring him in at the goal line, it's obviously
I don't care. I don't care.
I'm not saying Howard, but it matters for Gaskin.
It matters for Gaskin in non-PPR, but in PPR, he's clearly going to be productive because right now, with what he's doing, he's averaging 11.5 PPR points per game. Again, not a starter, but if you're stuck and you need somebody to plug in, especially once we start getting to the bye weeks, remember, we haven't got there yet. Yeah. We're already dealing with all these injuries. Yeah. And so this is a guy now that the Dolphins are telling you, when we are chasing points, he's our guy. When we need somebody that we trust, he's our guy, except at the goal line right now. And if Howard continues to struggle, maybe that changes.
Dave, you want to throw out any more names? How about some wide receivers? Who would be your priorities?
Gage is at the top of the list, and he'd still be more PPR than non-PPR. I just think that that's going to be where his value is safer because of target share in that Atlanta offense. And then I don't have a really great feeling about the rest of the wide receivers. Corey Davis would be second if he's still there. N'Keal Harry would be a consideration. Again, more in PPR than non-PPR. I was happy with what I saw from Tre'Quan Smith on Monday against the Raiders.
Sure.
He might be third on this list. Maybe he's even second on this list if it's non-PPR. Like, I would look at, I guess I'll make him third. I would probably say Davis, Gage, Tre'Quan in straight non-PPR, no catches counting. And then if it's full PPR, I'll go Gage, Davis, Smith, Harry.
I wish I had more faith in the player, but the opportunity for Golden Tate is big right now, and he's 51% rostered. He played 5 games without Sterling Shepard last year, and he was on pace. In those 5 games, Golden Tate was on pace for 96 catches, 1,293 yards, and 10 touchdowns.
You know what? That's a good call.
And he had 80 or more yards in 4 or 5 games without Sterling Shepard, and he only had 80 or more yards in 1 other game rest of season. Now Barkley's out too. He had 5 targets. He caught all 5 of them. I think there's some question about, like, if he's still got it or if he's just kind of old, but
sure. But at the very least, you know that his target volume is going to be good. And think back to those days in Detroit when the Lions couldn't run the ball. I guess they still can't run the ball very well now, but he was an extension of their run game. And it's very well within the realm of possibility that that happens now in New York with Saquon out, that he gets 2 or 3 screens a game on top of all the slants and digs and out routes that he runs within 12 yards of the line of scrimmage. I'm moving him up. I think I'll go Gage, Davis, Tate, Tre'Quan, because Tre'Quan doesn't have a lot of long-term value. Mm-hmm. Once Michael Thomas comes back, he's not going to be helpful for your fantasy team.
Yeah, and of course there could be some players who are available and, you know, 20% of these 20. Yeah, like Deebo Samuel could be out there. Robbie Anderson could be out there. We'll talk about all those guys. Let's talk about Fab. How much on Mike Davis?
I wouldn't go nuts, like around 20%.
I don't think you're going to get him. I think there's going to be somebody desperate in every league that needs him bad, and I think they'll go probably more than a third of their Fab. I think you're going to have to go close to 40% to get Mike Davis.
Yeah, that's a waste because you're looking at a guy that's got short-term appeal and who knows how good he's going to be. So don't over.
But if I'm 0-2 and I don't have Christian McCaffrey on my team,
it's obviously case specific. You know, if you have to win and you're stuck, then you got to spend on him. But I think if you're the smart fantasy manager, there's going to be, again, we said this last week, there's going to be guys that this continues to happen to, and you don't want to not have those fab.
That's true. It's a great dollars point.
Later in the season. So if you don't need Mike Davis, don't go crazy for Mike Davis. If you need Mike Davis and you're 0-2, then go crazy for Mike Davis because you have to guarantee yourself some production. So it's case by case. But in the broad scope of things, I would say 20%.
I'm in a salary cap draft. I spent big on Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, you're stuck.
Yeah, I've got to go big on Mike Davis. I don't even know if he's out there.
So how big are you going to go? How big are you going to go on Wayne Gallman, who you said was your favorite of the Giants options?
Not nearly as big.
Give me a percentage.
15.
Okay. All right. Daryl Henderson's out there. How much you spending on him?
20.
Boy, I really hope that we don't have three kind of useless running backs for the Rams. You know?
Right.
They might.
Well,
so far
you had two good ones, but we just didn't have them in our lineups.
It's true, but we might legitimately have a three-headed monster this year.
It would be the best case scenario right now is that Akers and Brown don't play and Henderson has a telling performance, whether he stinks and you know that, okay, once those guys come back, they're going to probably go to one of those two guys, or he's awesome and then maybe that's the guy moving forward. So you'd like to at least see something as opposed to, you know, where he does something in the passing game and nothing on the ground, vice versa, gives you quarter of this, you know, middling type of game, and then you're looking at it and say, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. For what it's worth, I thought he looked...
Adam Schefter says Malcolm Brown expected to play this week.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Stress.
So that definitely changes it. I thought Henderson actually looked great. Yeah, do you put him second or do you put McKinnon second?
I just don't think McKinnon is getting a ton of work, and we don't know how long Mostert's going to be out. So I still think Henderson is worth taking the chance on number two.
Okay. And Jeff Wilson could be sneaky, just, you know, like a $2 bid or something. And he had two games last year. He played, got some work without Tevin Coleman healthy, and he scored two touchdowns in both games. They've shown that they'll use him, Jeff Wilson, near the goal line. All right, guys. Schrager, what are we promoting today?
What are we promoting? We got Jamie at 8 p.m. on Twitch tonight. Waiver Wire show. Ask every single Waiver Wire question you have. He's going to answer, and Adam will answer.
Yeah, you know,
as well.
I'm on Twitch too. That was kind of messed up.
Yeah, I mean, you are the host on every single Twitch. Jamie's not on every Twitch. We got to give him the benefit of the doubt. But also on Friday, dropping on Saturday, we're recording a mailbag. It's Adam. It's Jamie. It's Frank Stanfill from CBS Fantasy, the host of the FBT pod, is coming on as a fantasy football analyst. So get excited. Leave those questions with a 5-star review on Apple. Jamie, Frank, Adam will answer all of your questions. Leave them on Apple Podcasts, 5-star review.
I think Frank has 11 letters in his name, Frank Stanfill, and 9 of them are consonants. He's got a lot of consonants, people. Just,
it's an easy
don't
name
see that.
To spell because it's just Stamp Florida.
That's, oh my God.
So every time, like, I had to look up his email for one of our mock drafts, I would just, it's Stamp FL.
Stamp Florida. I like that. All right. So yeah, check us out on Twitch and the mailbag. And Frank's awesome. He's so much fun. And he joined us on Twitch on Sunday morning. So looking forward to having him on the mailbag. All right, here are your news and notes. A lot of it, you know, Barkley out for the year, McCaffrey 4 to 6 weeks, Cortland Sutton out for the season. Devontae Adams is probably fine. Raheem Mostert likely out this week. Tevin Coleman out multiple weeks, but Mostert has not been declared out yet. What a weird game. Like, could you be more depleted than the San Francisco 49ers are right now? Could you have to travel more than the 49ers have to travel?
Do you know what happened to them too?
That they're playing?
Yeah. And then the MRI.
And that MRI machine, right.
Yeah, MRI machine broke. Their plane was run into, like, on the runway.
Lose their starting quarterback, their best defensive player, their starting running back, already down their top tight end and top wide receiver. I mean, you want to talk, it's not a Super Bowl hangover from a play standpoint, but it's just like a Super Bowl jinx after what happened to them losing to the Chiefs and how it unfolded as well.
And they still beat the pants off of the Jets.
Well, I mean, Garoppolo and Mostert played the majority of that game, so.
Yeah, but Bosa didn't, and Solomon Thomas got hurt early too.
I think the Giants can win this week. It wouldn't shock me.
I'd be surprised. Unless the turf monster gets the Niners.
Who's the better quarterback in the game, Nick Mullins or Daniel Jones?
I don't know. I
don't know.
I know.
I hope it's well, it could be Garoppolo. He hasn't been ruled out yet, so keep that in mind.
Could be Garoppolo. That's fair. If Garoppolo plays, I would change what I said.
Yeah, no, I take Jameis Jones over Nick Mullins. Brashad Perryman, week to week. Chris Hogan, though, avoided serious injury, and he had a good game. They're at the Colts. That's the Jets. Let's see. Bruce Irvin, Seattle defensive end. He's out for the year, and cornerback Marquise Blair is out for the year for the DC Seahawks. The Jets without their center, Connor McGovern. He's week to week. The football team will be without their best offensive lineman, Brandon Scherff, expected to miss 3 to 5 weeks. And Cleveland might have a pretty good run defense. Baltimore should have a pretty good run defense. Those are their next two opponents. Might be tough sledding for Antonio Gibson. Minnesota lost Anthony Barr for the season. Miami cornerback Byron Jones, their big ticket free agent acquisition. He's probably going to miss this week's game, which is a Thursday game. He missed most of last week's game against Buffalo. Jacksonville center Brandon Linder avoided serious injury. He's day-to-day. Denver lost two defensive ends for multiple weeks, Draymond Jones and DeMarcus Walker. Could it, I mean, the Broncos are that team, right? That's they are really beat
up.
Well,
the 49ers might be that team, but yes. The
unfortunately, there might be more teams that are that team than that aren't that team.
Yeah, but for the Niners, it's starting quarterback, Philip Lindsay, best wide receiver, Von Miller, all the Chubbs. Well, no, Chubbs fine now.
Sutton. Cortland Sutton.
I said.
He said their best receiver.
No, I'm sorry.
And now two defensive ends.
What do you think
ends.
He was talking about? Deshaun Hamilton?
No, I thought you said their cornerback. I'm sorry.
I said a lot of things. And I talked about time of possession with the Vikings. I don't have their time of possession, but I will tell you that they have run 96 plays in two games. Least fewest in the NFL. Second fewest would be the Jets in Houston, 115 plays. So Minnesota, 96 scrimmage plays so far for the Vikings. All right, everybody. I'm giving away something big right here. We've got a sweepstakes from Coors Light. Coors Light wants to give you a way to take a break from the new reality of endless video chats in 2020. Say goodbye to your video chat background and hello to that beautiful travel destination in real life and actually chill. Five lucky winners will get trips to the beautiful destinations they've been dreaming about going to for months. And to enter for a chance to win, visit CoorsLight.com/outside during the month of September and upload a screenshot of yourself and your ideal video chat background. All right, go to CoorsLight.com/outside this month. Upload a screenshot of yourself and your ideal video chat background. The prize package is valid through June 2022, so if you win, you can plan your trip whenever you feel comfortable. Man, I would love to go back to Bermuda. That was the best vacation I've ever had. I could use that as like my video chat background. I've often used a nice pool, like a nice deck and a nice pool as my video chat background when I'm Zooming. So I can be like, oh, look at me. I'm hanging out at the pool. So yeah, I would love to go somewhere kind of beachy or warm. You know what I'm talking about, people. So anyway, you've got time. Go to, you got this month. Go there right now. CoorsLight.com/outside. CoorsLight.com/outside. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And the sweepstakes ends on October 1st, 2020. This is open only to legal residents of the 50 states plus DC. And you have to be 21 plus years of age. Travel must be to the destination indicated in the entry and must be completed by June 30th, 2022. For official rules, including how to enter, prize details, and restrictions, visit www.coorslight.com/outside. Void where prohibited and message and data rates may apply. And Dave, I know you like to chill with a Coors Light every now and then, huh?
Dude, so I actually had a day where I didn't work on football last week. It was Saturday. Did a ton of yard work around my house. I planted 27 bushes
really
along the side of my fence. 27. I counted because it was a pain in the butt. And look, you know, I'm not exactly in the best shape. So by the time I was done, I was sweating like a hog. I was exhausted. My body was tired. You know, I'm over 40. I'm not some hip young kid that can go out and you know, hit the clubs after a day of work like this. So I kicked back in my backyard with my newfound grass and shrubs and all that stuff. And I popped open a Coors Light and I just chilled out, man. I had my moment of chill after a really hard day. The sun was setting. I got to watch it. It wasn't too hot outside here in Florida. There was really only one beer out there that I felt is made to chill. That's Coors Light. It was delicious. It was crisp. It didn't have that disgusting aftertaste that a lot of craft beers and other beers have. It was really, really wonderful. I got to just sit and relax and just enjoy that blissful moment where I could just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like,
well, I'm kind of half focused on this contest. Like, I'm wondering if I can somehow like convince my wife to enter so that I can
go for
a vacation. That would sound good. So look, when you need a moment of chill, the next time you're in a spot like that, go grab yourself a Coors Light, pop it open and just relax and just, you know, zen-like moment in the backyard with Coors Light.
All right, let's get back to the waiver wire here. Our top three at each position. Jamie, give me three quarterbacks.
Three quarterbacks would be Gardner Minshew, and then a lot of, but I would look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and Mitchell Trubisky if you're stuck. Fitzpatrick showed you some life last week against a depleted Bills defense, but looked like the fantasy quarterback we saw last year, and I think it's going to be a fun facial hair shootout between Minshew and Fitzpatrick on Thursday night when the Dolphins and Jaguars meet up. And then Trubisky, very good fantasy game week one, better NFL game week two. Hopefully a better fantasy game in week three in what could be a shootout against the Falcons based on how the Falcons team plays. So those would be the three quarterbacks I look at.
Okay, fair enough. And then, you know, if Tannehill is available, he's rostered in 74% of leagues.
Yes. You know. If Tannehill is out there and who's the other guy I gave you?
Burrow.
Burrow, I would go Minshew, Tannehill, Burrow in that order.
Okay. Dave, we talked about a lot of running backs. So you got Mike Davis, you got Daryl Henderson, Jerick McKinnon, the Giants situation, Miles Gaskin. Anyone else that you think is worth at least five fab dollars?
I don't think Jeff Wilson is worth five fab dollars, but we do know that Jerick McKinnon can't be the only running back for San Francisco against the Giants. It does seem like a good matchup, and it seems like one that Jeff Wilson could score in. I would spend one fab dollar, 1% of my fab on Jeff Wilson. I would spend potentially one fab dollar on Reggie Bonathon. And Damian Harris might be out there.
Yeah.
In a few leagues. He could come off of IR after week three. I know that getting a Patriots running back is, you'd rather go get a root canal at this point, and Cam Newton is doing all the short yardage goal line work for the Patriots. But he impressed in training camp. He's got some good skills. The Patriots like to use good football players. I wonder if he's worth stashing, starting. If not, maybe you don't pick him up on Tuesday night, Wednesday morning. Maybe you wait till Friday. And you just tuck him onto the end of your bench, provided that you have the room. Because if he blossoms into something, man, any running back that's worth a darn is going to have good value in trade. Mm-hmm. You could at the very least have a trade chip that can help your team out a little bit. Or maybe he ends up being the lead back for the Patriots and maybe splits that short yardage work with Cam Newton, gives the Patriots another option there. They might want a second option after kind of, you know, rolling the dice with Cam at the goal line one time too many against Seattle.
I will say, if you're talking Patriots running backs, if you're looking in deeper leagues, if James White does not play in week three because of the tragedy that he's dealing with, and again, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family, Rex Burkhead had four catches in that game against the Seahawks on six targets. So he stepped up into that pass-catching role. So Harris is obviously better long-term, but if you're looking at a short-term scenario in PPR, if you're stuck, you know Burkhead's probably going to be that guy again, and we'll see if they're in a run-heavy mode like they were week one when they were winning the game easily against the Dolphins, or if they're in more of a competitive game against the Raiders, who, give the Raiders credit, look really good.
Oh, who called that upset? It was me.
You did, right?
I did pick that upset. I said Raiders beat the Saints, and I said the Giants could beat the Bears, and that came down to the last play. Eh? All right, go me. Go me, everybody. All right.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Apparently, I'm proud of myself. I actually don't really think the Saints are so great without Michael Thomas, but gosh, I was really disappointed in their DST and their defense in general. But what the heck, they
looked like they sold out to stop the run, and Darren Waller did whatever he wanted to, and Carr missed a couple shots down the field, but Carr played really well. I mean, he took what was available to him, and give them credit, they missed a lot of tackles.
All right, wide receivers, we've named some names. Jamie, give me Give me the top names at receiver.
Well, I mean, there's a few we didn't talk about. I think Marcus Valdes-Scantling is absolutely worth picking up, you know, just based on how he's looked through two games. The drops have been a little unfortunate, but he's obviously playing a lot. And with the way Rodgers is playing right now, especially if Davante Adams does miss the game, he's dealing with a hamstring injury, is expected to play. But you could see more targets headed for MVS, and you just want a piece of this Packers offense when it's available to you. And right now it's available to you with what MVS is roster percentage is.
Do you like him better than Lazard at this point?
I like him better than Lazard, yes, because of what his quarterback is doing and what his role is. You know, Lazard is not, you know, taking the same shots down the field.
Okay. How long does it last, though? Because Valdes-Scantling hasn't been exactly reliable. He's just way inconsistent on those.
He's their speed. He's their speed. You know, and they don't, you know, Adams runs well, but he's not a burner. And Lazard is not a burner. And so Valdes-Scantling is their shot guy. And so far, the targets have been there for him. So you got to like it. I would also take a look at some of the injury replacement guys. Michael Pittman, you know, is a guy that got six targets last week. They got a good matchup this week against the Jets. Paris Campbell is probably going to be out for several weeks. And so Pittman is a guy that's different from what they have in terms of Zach Pascal and T.Y. Hilton. So I think he's going to be interesting. The two Jaguars guys of LaVisca Chenault and Keelan Cole are definitely interesting with the way that they've been playing. The fact that Chenault keeps getting carries is nice. And then now KJ Hamler's role increases because of Cortland Sutton being out. So that's more of a long-term play because I don't think you want to trust Hamler with without Drew Lock in there. But I think you know, the fact they had seven targets in his NFL debut, and they're probably going to be chasing points most week. This is now a discovery season for the Broncos. You know, see what you have in Judy, see what you have in Hamler, see what you have in hopefully Drew Lock, and you know, feature these young guys without their lead receiver there.
All right, tight end Dave, Jonnu Smith. I think if he's available, he's 80% rostered. He's got to be, I would think number one, but maybe Gesicki. I don't know. So who do you like at tight end?
Gesicki is going to be first. I can't say that he's a definite long-term solution. He's got Jacksonville this week and then Seattle and San Francisco in consecutive weeks after that. So not great, but you could definitely stream him this week. Dalton Schultz in Dallas got the targets that Blake Jarwin was supposed to get. I think he could continue to be a good volume guy, but I don't love him this week. He's a little bit more of a long-term play. He plays Seattle in week three. Jordan Reed was so impressive, man. Not exactly fast, but San Francisco just schemed him up nicely. Nice big size, reliable hands. They need targets in that offense. He would probably vault to second if you needed just a 1 week option on this list.
But we didn't think Kittle was coming back this week. I thought that was the deal.
If Kittle does come back, then obviously Jordan Reed's going to take a huge step down. But for now, I don't know if Kittle's going to play.
Okay, not scary. So the Giants have not allowed 20 yards to a tight end yet. Pittsburgh
and
Chicago. But
Reed's more of a wide receiver than a tight end, okay. Anyway. Mm-hmm. One couple more, and these are just low end guys. Jordan Akins with Houston could be a regular part of their offense. He played a lot in weeks one and two. I think he's their best tight end, not a touchdown vulture like Darren Fells. Decent volume could be their form from week to week. And Mo Alie-Cox, as long as Jack Doyle's out, he's going to be the top tight end for the Colts. And I think I said it on Sunday. Week one was Phillip Rivers is great to throw into running backs. Week two is Phillip Rivers is great to throw into tight ends. And if Cox is his only top tight end, he's got the Jets this week. It's a good matchup. You can see Mo Alie-Cox come through again. If you need him for just 1 week, I would probably rank them Gesicki, Reed as now, Alie-Cox as the top three. And if it's long-term, it's still going to be Gesicki first, but I'll put Schultz second.
All right, Jamie, DSTs to look at this week.
You got the Colts, great matchup against the Jets, and they certainly performed better in week two than they did in week one. So that would be the first one I go look for. The Chargers get the Panthers without McCaffrey. I think they're going to make things tough on Teddy Bridgewater. And then the Browns, you know, Cleveland defense played well against the Bengals for the majority of that game. Burrow threw 61 times. I don't think you're going to get 61 pass attempts from Dwayne Haskins. And I think you'll see I like the way that Cleveland will be able to, I think, limit this Washington football team and their offensive production.
Well, do you drop the Ravens DST facing the Chiefs on Monday night, or do you try to roster two?
I would try and roster two, but I mean, that's a decision that comes down to, you know, with all these injuries that you're dealing with and with all of the, you know, the limited roster space that a lot of fantasy managers have, it's probably going to be tough to do that. So it comes down to, I think, what your roster construction is. But
they've been so good. Holy cow.
I would probably just take my lumps against the Chiefs and see if they can create a turnover or two and sack Mahomes a couple of times. Points are not going to be in their favor, so check your DSD scoring. But, you know, I made a decision just to give you a similar one, not to the same level, but I could drop the Patriots DSD to pick up the Buccaneers. You know, and so that was something that, looking at schedule for both teams, opportunity in week number two, I felt comfortable enough with it. So if there's a DST out there that you like, that you think you can get some good mileage out of, then you move on from the Ravens. But it'd be nice to hold on to them if you can.
After the Chiefs, they play Washington, then Cincinnati, and then at Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So
you got to keep them.
I would hang on to the Ravens. If you've got to just start them and you don't want to carry two DSTs, go ahead and do it.
Yeah, it's tough if you're 0-2 and you have to start them. You might be able to trade them. I mean, I think they're a legitimately valuable commodity, especially with that schedule after this Chiefs game, Washington, Cincinnati, Philadelphia. That's just tremendous, and they've been really, really good so far. And then kickers, Jamie's got Michael Badgley for the Chargers, Rodrigo Blankenship, 18% rostered for the Colts, and Mason Crosby for the Packers. Fun game. Rodgers at Breeze on Sunday Night Football. Usually these guys go off primetime, especially primetime home games for Drew Breeze. Just doesn't really feel like that right now for Drew Breeze. We got to talk about that game.
He looks terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not that pinpoint
old.
Accuracy. Just overnight, now he's old, you know? It's weird.
He's old.
It's not like a steady decline where we saw signs of it last year. He's been at the absolute top of his game.
He is, and will go down as one of the most accurate quarterbacks ever. He holds several records in terms of completion percentage. And he still was completing very accurate passes. But you see the first game without Michael Thomas, and you saw the way that he performed in week one. And he's just not throwing downfield with any sort of zip. And so that's the concern, is that if you take away all these underneath routes and Michael Thomas isn't there, what's this offense going to look like? And you saw it against the Raiders, which I think their defense is not as valued as it probably should be, because I think they have a lot of nice players and Paul Gunther's a good defensive coordinator. But you look at this Packers defense that they're facing, and it could be a little bit tougher for them because I think the pass rush is better for the Packers. So, you know, I think Breeze and look, Ramchek was banged up, I think, a little bit last night. Andrews Pete got banged up as well. You know, so they were a little bit, maybe Ramchek wasn't hurt, but Pete was, you know, banged up.
Yep.
And so that's something that's a little bit concerning when you got to go against, you know, the two Smith guys for the Packers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, would you drop Drew Breeze for Gardner Minshew?
Yes. If that's the only move I can make.
All right, but like if Michael Thomas comes back in 2 weeks, and you're going to probably regret dropping Drew Brees, but
I don't think so. You know, I think it depends on what your league is like. You know, we may not see the rush to pick him up. Like, I how many people are picking up Carson Wentz if you drop him? And those guys were drafted in similar range.
Yeah,
Stafford too.
There's got to be. Well, okay, so that's the thing. I am picking up Stafford. Galladay's expected.
Stafford
to play
is
this
a different
week.
Category. Yes.
Why is that? I don't know that Stafford should be in a different category than Drew Brees. I think it's easy to put Wentz last because, I've said over and over, Wentz, each of the last two seasons, has not been a top 12 quarterback on a per-game basis. So we were hoping that he'd be better this year. Brees is missing his best weapon, but if the best wide receiver in football comes back, then, you know.
You said it. We know Galladay's coming back.
Yeah.
We don't know that Thomas is coming back. I think when Thomas comes back, it's a different story with Brees. But right now, Stafford on the rise, Brees on the decline. And that has to do with their weapons, clearly.
I feel like it needs to be mentioned that Josh Jacobs he has never proven that he can carry a big workload for a full season. Not saying he can't, because he didn't really get the opportunity at Alabama, but he had very few carries in college for a first-round pick running back. Missed three games last year and was in and out of the game in the fourth quarter yesterday, banged up, and he's getting a ton of work. So I don't know what you do about that. Like, obviously, he's awesome and you want him on your team. But do you just pick up Devontae Booker? Is Devontae Booker like a Chase Edmonds, Boston Scott kind of handcuff?
I mean, based on the usage last night, I would say it's going to be messy if you don't have Jacobs.
I agree.
Booker and Jalen Richard. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a Jalen Richard truther, you're happy that he got rewarded after the fumble, because there could have been a scenario where they don't put him back in the game and use Booker instead. But I think you look at it as Jacobs is probably in the sell high category.
If you could get
a package in return for him.
Like, you don't give him away.
We were talking about him as like, you know, a top five overall player last
week.
Well,
I mean, if your concern is workload and exactly what you just said, I'm not selling Josh Jacobs. I love Josh Jacobs. But if you're putting him in a category, it's sell high, you know, just based on what the potential downfall could be.
Yeah. It's just injuries that could hold him back because he's everything you want in a lead fantasy running back.
Could have had a touchdown last night, you know, didn't punch one in, and then Carr had the fumble and they, you know, may not have gone. That could have been the play for him. I think you got to like the fact that he's got 7 catches through 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
That was the story for him, and he's delivering on it.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is last night, game was fun, but the touchdowns scored by the Raiders were the most fantasy useless touchdowns, except for Waller. Just the thing about the Raiders here, I don't know, how do you feel about this? Their next two opponents, or their next 5 weeks at New England, Buffalo, at Kansas City, Kansas City might have a good defense, especially, but at that point they'll have their suspended guys back. Bye, and then Tampa Bay. So it's tough sledding at New England, Buffalo, at Kansas City, bye, and then Tampa Bay. It's tough sledding there, I think. Does that scare you?
Is there
you?
A good defense, though, in the NFL right now?
We just got done talking about Baltimore.
Baltimore is certainly up there. Pittsburgh is up there.
Pittsburgh's up there, and Melvin Gordon still had a nice-looking game against them.
Okay. I think we're just looking at this. This was the issue coming into this season with the lack of a training camp in what training camp typically is in preseason, that these guys are just not playing at the level that they're typically used to playing at. Yeah. They're good better, but injuries are a problem.
I don't know that New England has a good defense. They have lost so much since last year.
Did you know the stat on Gilmore with the touchdown Metcalf scored?
No.
First touchdown he's allowed since 2018.
That sounds about right.
You should have seen my face. We were on the air. And Heath even called me out. He's like, Adam is wide-eyed right now. I was like,
yep. Yeah.
Well, those guys fighting the whole game was awesome.
Yeah. Schrager, get a screenshot of that.
No, don't do that. No. It was amazing.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And we've seen the 49ers defense fall apart. Injuries are going to continue to be a problem. Like Buffalo's defense, for example. Gesicki did that, I think, in large part because of the injuries that they have to the linebacking quarterback.
Yep. Right. Yep. Absolutely.
And so it's like, if you look at, I'll tell you, I don't know, Dave, where you have Higbee ranked. That'll switch for me if those guys play. Like, I have Higbee ranked third right now.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. All right, so last question then is like, do you even try to entertain offers for Darren Waller, or you just keep him?
Of course. If someone's willing to pay offers on anybody, I just don't think that the market right now, I don't know how many fantasy managers are dying to acquire a tight end. Unless it's a fair deal at the very least, or a really good deal at the very most.
Here's the thing:
running back is the position that I think everybody's going to be flipping on this week.
The thing about a player like Waller and Higbee and any of the tight ends that you drafted that you feel comfortable with, maybe some of the guys on the waiver wire, if you could turn those players, like if you're the McCaffrey owner or the Barkley owner and you need some running back help and somebody has a tight end and you could try and maybe package something and Waller or Higbee or something to get a running back, and then you end up with Gesicki or maybe Dalton Schultz, or maybe just continue to, you know, go the streaming route of Jordan Reed this week or Mo Ali Cox this week or one of these guys. Another guy, we didn't talk about it, Drew Sample. You know, Joe Burrow is in love with his tight ends right now, and Drew Sample now steps up without CJ Uzama there. So there's going to be
small sample size.
There's going to be guys that you can sort of pivot to that aren't Waller or Higbee or those type of guys, or Hayden Hurst, if you want to flip him after one big game, or Noah Fant after two big games, you know, so there's an opportunity there to sort of manage your roster a different way to get some running back help. But you got to feel comfortable if you have Waller after those first two games and Higbee after what he did and Fant and, you know, now Hayden Hurst. So, you know, these guys are rewarding you if you drafted them. As long as you didn't draft Gronk or Hooper.
Gronk. Let's do the drop-o-meter. Here we go. 0 to 10 on the drop-o-meter. I shouldn't sound so enthusiastic about this, right? This is a negative segment. Adrian Peterson.
Why don't you try that again then?
All right, guys, let's, look, I don't really want to do this, but let's do the drop-o-meter. I think we have to. Okay.
Yeah, I liked it better the first time.
All right.
The drop-o-meter.
Adrian Peterson.
Get rid of these crap bags.
0 to 10 for Peterson.
5. 7.
DeAndre Swift.
0. 2.
Kerryon Johnson.
I'm taking back my 7 for Adrian Peterson, and I'm going to give it to Kerryon Johnson.
Kerryon played more than Adrian Peterson in week 2. Peterson is 35 years old. If he goes down, Kerryon's role increases. I will say 4 on Kerryon.
Yeah, remember, they were limiting him in week one because he was coming back from the surgery. So he only had one more.
I would rather have Kerryon than Adrian Peterson.
Okay. Drop-o-meter Carson Wentz does have Cincinnati this week.
8.
Yep.
By the way, we haven't mentioned Alshon Jeffrey. Is he a good player to pick up?
Could return at any moment, but I'm sure they're going to ease him back in. So there's a lot of other receivers I'd rather have right now, including Jalen Reagor.
Boston Scott drop-o-meter.
10.
3.
It basically just depends on whether or not you want to stash a high-end backup, right? Like an injury yep. replacement.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I think in the case of Scott. Yeah. I don't think he's going to help you win this week.
Mm-hmm. Daniel
right,
Jones.
But we're judging him on his one game sample size when Lane Johnson did not play and that offensive line was a complete disaster and a joke. So I think if he has his healthy offensive line in front of him, at least whatever their healthy offensive line is, you'd want to have that in case Miles Sanders goes down.
Not to mention Scott himself got hurt in that game.
True.
Daniel Jones, drop o meter.
10.
Yeah.
30. Tariq Cohen.
This is format specific. So non-PPR, he's a 7. In PPR, he's a 2.
I think he might be a 10 either way. I don't know how you're going to feel good starting him in any format right now.
Just got to pick them to lose, man. You need them to be trailing.
Yeah.
This is going to be an interesting week. Very interesting week.
They're 2-0. And Anthony Miller, they're at Atlanta. Like Atlanta should be an opportunity for Tariq Cohen here. Anthony Miller, 79% roster, drop-o-meter.
It should be an opportunity for Anthony Miller. I'll say 2.
Okay. Yeah, I'll say 5 because he's just one of these guys that's going to probably be in and out of your lineup. And you know how much I like him. But if he's not getting targets, it's going to be hard to trust him.
Benny Snell. Same as Scott, basically.
Same boat as Boston Scott.
Okay. Nyheim Hines.
He's in the same boat as Tariq Cohen. Non-PPR, it's going to be hard to trust him. PPR, I want to hold on.
Matt Breida.
I prefer to hold on to Hines than Cohen in PPR.
Sorry, Dave. Matt Breida.
10. 10.
Jordan Howard.
15.
12.
Michael Gallup.
0.
0.
All right. I want to call. I want to call my shot. Like Michael Gallup's going to have a big game this week at Seattle. He's due.
They need Tyron Smith healthy because Dak was not throwing down the field.
Okay, guys. Back to the waiver wire. We've given you a ton of names, but let's go a little bit deeper here. Joe Burrow and Ryan Tannehill are the players who you need to check to see if they're available. They're rostered in 80% and 74% of leagues respectively. What the hell was that? Burrow, are you starting either Burrow or Tannehill this week? Tannehill. Yeah, he should be a
starter. For sure. Tannehill.
At Minnesota.
Burrow, no.
Okay. What about Baker Mayfield? He is 66% rostered. He gets Washington this week. They've been decent, I guess, against quarterbacks other than Kyler Murray's rushing. But what about Mayfield? Do you have long-term hopes for him?
The two quarterbacks that they've faced, they've been decent.
What, Washington?
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they faced Wentz and Murray. They've given up points, but mostly it was Murray's rushing.
I think for Mayfield, you're going to get on the high end slightly better than what you got last week. Because you want them to be in a game where they're chasing points.
Yeah.
I just don't see that happening this week.
Okay.
Because they're not going to open up the offense all of a sudden and say, go throw it 40 times.
Okay, so then we got Gardner Minshew, who is 54% rostered. And do you just think, obviously this week could be good against Miami without their top cornerback. The Dolphins are allowing the most passing yards per attempt so far in the NFL. But for Minshew, are you just treating him like he's legit? Basically,
yes.
Borderline top 12 yes. quarterback rest of season.
They may be this year's Miami Dolphins, where everybody thought they were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they got surprising quarterback play from Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they won more games than they had hoped to. They still ended up getting the quarterback that they intended to get all along in Tua. But the Jaguars were picked to be the worst team in the NFL. They were excellent in week one across the board, offense and defense. And they went toe-to-toe with the Titans team that usually handles them very easily. And so they could beat the Dolphins and end up 2-1 through 3 weeks, which nobody would have expected. And Minshew was a big part of that. So he's playing fantastic. His receiving core is playing fantastic. James Robinson has been a huge surprise and looks legit.
And I love him this week.
I don't know about you. I've believed in the Jaguars since day one. Okay. I've been on them all here. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Adam P. Prisco Azer.
Ryan Fitzpatrick at the Jaguars, coming off 26 fantasy points against Buffalo, where he threw 47 times. Would you start Fitzpatrick over Drew Brees this week?
Yes.
Ooh, all right. Would you start Trubisky over Drew Brees this week?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Let's see. Would you start Ryan Fitzpatrick or Phillip Rivers this week? Rivers against the Jets.
Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
Fitzpatrick or Wentz?
Fitzpatrick.
I have Wentz two spots higher.
Trubisky or Wentz this week?
Wentz.
Okay. And then there's Justin Herbert. You know, actually, two quarterback leagues, super flex leagues, there are going to be some decisions to make. You might see Justin Herbert out there. You might see Nick Mullins. You might see Jeff Driscoll.
I hope you see Justin Herbert out there. I mean, I don't know what Anthony Lynn is doing. Like, you got a chance to
He's trying to be cool to Tyrod.
Oh, I get why he's doing it. I just don't understand why he would do it. Like, you got the scenario that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
You got Tyrod getting hurt. You got Herbert to play in your toughest matchup, in your biggest division rival, and he was excellent. And not his fault that they lost the game. Like Anthony Lynn said, last time I checked, we lost the game. That was his quote yesterday. Okay, maybe you shouldn't have punted. This is what you want.
He made a big mistake, though. He made a big that interception. He should have just run the ball. Yeah. Like that's
he played well. I think he played well.
You don't run left.
I think he played
right
especially well for his first game.
I thought so too. Right.
And
it's great.
And the thing that you look for is was he overwhelmed by the moment? And I guess the camera picked
no.
up saying on the sideline, like, man, this is cool. Like he mm-hmm. gets it. Like he has the moxie to play in this league and to play hopefully at a high level. And now you got a chance to see him unprepared. Now he should be prepared. It's a layup of a game because the Panthers going on the road without their best player. Like you don't get a better scenario than this. So if I'm Anthony Lynn, okay, you want to be cool with Tyrod, fine. Tyrod, go make sure your chest is okay. Sit out another week. And if Herbert lights up the Panthers like he potentially could, I'd start him over Brees, for example, if he's starting. Like that's how much confidence I have in him.
All right, guys. So let's just kind of get through the rest of these names here. So Phillip Rivers against the Jets, who are awful. What's your confidence level in him?
Not very
high, but I think he could be good.
All right. And Stafford, if anybody drops Stafford, go get him, right?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. What about Nick Mullins? What about Jeff Driscoll? Mullins at the Giants, Driscoll against Tampa Bay. Okay.
If I had to pick between the two of them, it's Driscoll.
Okay. Yeah, Mullins made 8 starts in 2018. He was on pace for 4,500 yards and 26 touchdowns, but also 20 interceptions. He had 4 pretty damn good games, 23 or more points. He had 4 pretty bad games.
Yeah, I'm taking Mullins for sure.
All right, running back. Well, but Driscoll himself was actually pretty good last year. 20 points, 31 points, and 14 points in 3 starts. Running back. Okay. So a lot of repeat names. But Josh Kelly. All right, I'm sorry. If Josh Kelly is available, he's 71%
roster.
Number
1, not close.
Over Mike Davis.
Not close.
Okay. And then you've got Mike Davis. You got Daryl Henderson, Jerick McKinnon, Miles Gaskin, Devontae Freeman, Deion Lewis, Wayne Gallman. I really think we've covered all of these names. Some we haven't. Kerryon Johnson at Arizona. Frank Gore got 21 carries. He's at Indianapolis this week. Chris Thompson caught a touchdown. He only had 5 touches. And Jeff Wilson, we talked about. Rex Burkhead, we talked about. I don't know that we need to spend more time on running back. I think
Chris Thompson's interesting just because you saw chasing points. He was more involved in the passing game. And so not for this week, but moving forward, you know, PPR leagues, he could be interesting.
Sounds like you guys are going to pick the Jaguars this week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take the Dolphins. You know what I learned in week 2? That Phillip Rivers is horrible because the Jaguars defense is as bad as we thought it was going to be. And you go back to week 1 and Phillip Rivers couldn't beat that team. Like that was pretty bad.
He's not good. You know, what we're seeing is that, you know, give Ben Roethlisberger credit because of the older quarterbacks right now. Brady has not looked good. Brees has not looked good. Rivers has not looked good.
Brady should have had a much better game last week than what the stats say. He had receivers dropping passes. 2 touchdowns were dropped. I'm not ready to say Brady looks bad. Sorry to.
Oh, I don't think he's bad, but he has not looked good.
There definitely has been some stats and some points that should have been on the board that haven't been. He's had, he's had some good moments, some bad moments.
And
but
he did that without Godwin, so give him credit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
New system, so. New coach, all that stuff.
Yeah.
New climate, weather's different, real estate, you know, just so many things for Brady to have to think about.
Well, in week 2, he would have been in Seattle, so it really wouldn't have mattered.
What do you mean?
he had stayed with the Patriots.
Right. Okay, wide receivers. Deebo Samuel might be available, 74% rostered. He's out this week. He could come back in week four. Robbie Anderson. The only issue I have with Robbie Anderson right now, guys, the Chargers defense looks pretty, really, really good. AJ Green could have had a big game. He had two almost touchdowns. Tyreek Hill had 99 yards and a touchdown, although it took a long time for him to get good. No other wide receivers at more than 33 yards against the Chargers, but is Anderson a long-term play?
I think he is.
He's a short-term play, too. You don't have to play him this week to not consider him as at least a third wide receiver. They're going to be throwing the ball 50 times.
Tons of targets. A lot of them are short range and a couple of deep balls mixed in.
Okay. Alan Lazard is also 68%
rostered. He may be the perfect safe floor, high upside receiver that no one really gave any credit to before the season started.
Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay. There's one guy that I just wanted to bring up. He's 81% rostered. How do you feel about Brandon Cooks if you see him on your waiver wire?
I don't like him this week.
He'd be ahead of everybody that we talked about.
Okay. Brandon Cooks is at Pittsburgh this week. Fuller is not injured, is he?
I think he is.
It's one of those, we're going to get a limited practice throughout the week, but he's not on the injury report. He did leave the game and come back. It's like what happened to Boston Scott last week where, you know, looked like he was in trouble and then was able to sort of work his way through it. There's a video of him getting stretched out on the sideline with his hamstring.
Yeah.
So, you know, just thinks that he's hurt again.
He left early in the fourth quarter and didn't come back. After the game, it was reported he had a hamstring injury.
Okay. I thought we'll played through it without a target. But he's okay. No, bottom line is Will Fuller's got hamstring issues right now. So
you don't even need to say right now.
Russell Gage. N'Keal Harry. I mean, N'Keal Harry had 6 targets in week one. Cam Newton threw 20 passes, and then he had 12
targets.
He's tied
for the team lead in targets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's two guys basically getting the bulk of it. So he's 40% rostered, gets Las Vegas this week. Corey Davis, you guys like better, N'Keal Harry or Corey Davis?
Long-term Harry, short-term Davis.
I'll take Davis.
MVS, 30% rostered. We talked about Golden Tate earlier. And then you've got guys like Michael Pittman, who's got an opportunity now with the Colts. And Keelan Cole and Laviska Shenault. So Cole's getting more targets. I mean, he's got 12 targets through two games. Who do you prefer, Cole? Two good games in a row. Cole or Shenault?
Shenault long-term, Cole right now.
I'll say Shenault for both because I feel like we've been burned by Keelan Cole a couple of times already in his career.
All right, if you want to just put someone on your bench, is it KJ Hamler, Jalen Reagor, Brandon Ayuk? Those three, who would it be?
I think Rager's got the most upside if they start to use him a little bit different. Right now, he's just running downfield, but you know, had 4 catches after only 1 catch in week one. Ayuk is obviously a wild card because of Garoppolo, but Hamler, if he gets Drew Lock back, the opportunity is huge for him now without Sutton there. So they're all kind of similar to me.
And Pittman really belongs in this group more than the other group. Like he's a guy you stash and wait and see on.
Yeah. I mean, if you're putting him in this group, he's the best by far.
I agree.
And then what do you,
but Shenault should probably be in this group too, because again, he hasn't really done much.
What do you do with the guys who are getting opportunities based on injury, but we don't have a ton of faith in them? Like Tre'Quan Smith, Adam Humphries, Chris Hogan, Braxton Berrios, you know, the guys like Scott Miller even.
Yeah. You take them week to week. That's all you can really do. And I think Tre'Quan's probably the most interesting of that group.
I would hope if I'm the Saints and Drew Brees prior to the season said breakout season coming for Tre'Quan Smith, which I think we all laughed at because they bring in Sanders and obviously Thomas is there. But if you look at the way the two guys played last night, Sanders looked lost and Tre'Quan looked awesome.
That was a pretty weak call on that block in the back though on Emmanuel Sanders.
It was terrible.
Weak. Mm-hmm. Man,
took out two guys though.
If Sammy Watkins is out, are you interested in DeMarcus Robinson or Mecole Hardman?
I'd be a little interested in Hardman.
Not this week. No.
No, yeah, not against Baltimore.
Right. Okay.
If you tell me Watkins is out long term, then it's a different story.
Tight ends, we got Jonnu Smith, who's 80% rostered. Mike Gesicki, Dalton Schultz, Jordan Reed. Thankfully, we've already gone through most of these guys. Schultz does look like he has a pretty tough matchup at Seattle. They've done well against Hayden Hurst. And then New England doesn't really throw to the tight end much, although Jakob Johnson caught a touchdown that counted as a tight end touchdown. Jordan Reed, big game, 2 touchdowns on 8 targets at the Jets. Drew Samples got Washington. They were bad against the Eagles tight ends. They were good against Arizona, for what that's worth. Mo Alie-Cox gets the Jets, who just gave up 2 touchdowns to Jordan Reed. So you could see a lot of people going after him. Jordan Akins, 55 yards in week 2, 39 yards and a touchdown in week 1. He's at Pittsburgh this week. Tyler Eifert gets Miami this week. He had a touchdown, 3 for 36 and a touchdown. So far, the Dolphins, they've been fine, but they face New England and Buffalo.
And Knox got concussed in that game.
Yeah, so not much to go off there. So, yeah, I mean, anything you want to say about these guys? Gesicki, Schultz, Reed, Sample, Mo Alie-Cox, Akins, Eifert.
I mean, Gesicki, if he's going to do that consistently, is going to be awesome. He's not going to do that consistently, though. But, you know, the thing is this is the type of player that can be a difference maker. You know, I'll go back to what I said in the preseason. You know, they're going to use him a lot, and they like him. And, you know, it's sort of a concentrated offense, although Isaiah Ford getting as many targets as he did in week 2 was interesting, and maybe Preston Williams needs some work to do.
Oh, yeah, I just want to bring up one other sleeper, Logan Thomas. I mean, I know he had a bad game, but he had 9 targets, and the Browns have been, he's got 17 targets in 2 games. The Browns have been so bad against tight ends so far.
It's a good call.
So where would he slot in? Would you rather have Mo Alie-Cox or Logan Thomas?
I'd rather have Logan Thomas long-term, but Mo Alie-Cox is better as long as Jack Doyle's out.
Right. So Alie-Cox would probably get the nod for this week.
All right, and then the DSTs we were going to talk about, the Colts against the Jets. Colts against the Jets.
They're the number one DST for me this week.
Chargers against Carolina. See, the Chargers were dropped because they were playing the Chiefs, but they played really well against the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And the Cleveland Browns against Washington. These DSTs are pretty available, so that could be a high priority for people. And Michael Badgley, Rodrigo Blankenship, and Mason Crosby. All right. Good show, guys. Thank you very much. Thumbs up. Hey, all right.
All right.
Hey, okay.
Yeah.
Join us on Twitch.
Happy NFL's hurt. Hooray.
I was in a kind of a bad mood about it. Like, it's just less fun. It's less of fun course. To not see these great players. It sucks. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for the players. I feel bad for football fans. We're all deprived of great players.
Everybody.
Yeah, it sucks.
How do you feel good for anything when a guy like Saquon Barkley is done for the year?
Yeah, it sucks.
Or Courtland Sutton is done for the year. It's not fun. Well, this was a great note to end the podcast on.
Join us tonight on Twitch at 8 p.m. Eastern. Jamie will be there. See you later, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.